The rock musician Bob Seger built his first big following in his native Midwest, even though he sang of getting as far away from there as he possibly could. His frustrated Midwestern characters head for the mountains or flee backward into their memories. Yet for all the leaving, Bob Seger never quite left his native Michigan. Cars made by Detroit automakers race through some of his songs. One of the most famous was set in the backseat of a 60 Chevy. And years later, Chevrolet turned another Seger song into a commercial theme. Bob Seger's newest album begins with a man brooding over an early winter Michigan storm. The album Face the Promise has Seger touring at age 61, the first time in a decade. Last month, he made headlines when he played outside Detroit, headquarters of the industry where he briefly worked as a young man.
Well, my father worked at Ford's for 19 years. I even worked at Ford's for a short time and at GM for a short time.
What were your jobs?
I was a conveyor loader at GM, and I put... I didn't last too long on this one. It only lasted 10 days at Ford's because I was putting rubber around windshield glasses, you know, around windshields, and I was cutting up my hands. I said, I can't do this. And they wouldn't give me a different job, so I left.
Can't go home and play guitar after doing that, I suppose.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
There's a song you put out a couple of decades ago called Making Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Do you ever think about whether you came very close to being in that kind of life forever?
No, because I always knew right out of high school, even in junior high, I always knew I had a talent for music and I knew I could make money that way. My father left us when I was 10, so I had to make enough money for us to be able to live in a house because my brother went in the service during Vietnam and I was sole support of my mother. And she had no skills, really, except to clean other people's houses. So I had to have a bunch of jobs, you know, as well as music. I couldn't make enough right away playing music.
When you read about your career, it took you years to really get noticed and to start making any money as a musician.
Well, yeah. It took me a long time to learn how to write a good song.
What did you have to learn about writing a song that you didn't know?
Well, I grew up with another pretty darn good writer, Glenn Frey of the Eagles. We were very good friends. And we kind of studied it together.
Somewhere I read a quote from Glenn Frey saying that you learned that you wanted to repeat the title of the song as many times as humanly possible during the song.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to get on AM radio and if you wanted to get on one of the big 50,000 watt stations back then, you had to have a chorus that was catchy. Yeah.
Working and practicing all the night moves.
If you've got a really clever title, and I thought Night Moves was a pretty clever title, you know, and at the end the girls singing over and over and over, and so back then that did help get you on the radio.
Lord, I remember.
Do you feel that you're representing the Midwest in any way?
Well, only in the sense that I've stayed there, you know, maybe because my songs are a little more direct. They're not vague or anything. I think people pretty much understand. It's a pretty plain speaking.
Well, it's explicitly about people from the Midwest, too. He was a Midwestern boy on his own. 12 hours out of Mackinac City, I stopped at a bar and had a brew.
Right.
I could go on for some time like this.
I know. And I remember Don Henley, when I first played him, Like a Rock, and he... and I got to the bridge, and the word unencumbered, you know, came on. Unencumbered. And Henley says, Bob, you don't say five-syllable words in rock and roll. You know? And I said, yeah, but, you know, but it works.
And I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all these hustlers and their schemes.
Can I just mention that on the new album, there you are writing about cars again, only not in such a positive way.
No, you're right. Yeah. You look at the movie and the book, An Inconvenient Truth, which I so admire Al Gore for doing all those lectures for like years. But basically what I'm talking about in between is, you know, we buy a bigger engine and say it isn't me. And the overuse of oil is just wrecking our economy.
The world keeps getting harder.
Have you ever come to regret that one of your songs was used to promote the sale of millions, probably, big pickup trucks?
No, not really, because, you know, the great thing about that is it was almost like it was. I actually helped my hometown. You know, I saved a lot of jobs. An actual auto worker came up to me when I was having lunch with my manager and ask me why I never did anything for the auto companies, like a commercial or something. After he left, I looked at my manager who'd been trying to get me to do this for a year and a half, and I said, you planted him. And he said, no, I didn't. And I went to the ad agency that was trying to get me to do it, and I said, well, you planted him. And he said, honest, we never planted him. It was as simple as that. If it was okay with him, it was okay with me.
I still remember it was autumn and the moon was shining. Our 60 Cadillac was rolling.
Bob Seger's latest album is Face the Promise. You can hear some new songs and the story behind a classic song at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.
Yeah,